Okay, good morning. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We'll have opening of the bids. First, letter of notification. Certified proofs of publication have been received in the Office of Mineral Resources on behalf of the State Mineral Energy Board of the State of Louisiana from the Advocate Official Journal for the State of Louisiana and from the respective parish journals as evidence that tracks numbers 44583 through 44603 have been advertised in accordance with and under the provisions of Chapter 2, Title 30 of the Revised Statutes of 1950 as amended. We have no letters of a protest and notification of tracts recommended for withdrawal, so we'll have opening of the bids now.
Good morning. We did not receive any bids on tracks 44583, 584, 585, or 586. We did receive one bid on track 44587, advertised as 119 acres. The bid is for the entire track, and the bidder is Angel and Donahue, Oil and Gas Properties, Inc. Angel and Donahue, Oil and Gas Properties, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $23,800. $23,800, or a per-acre value of $200. Annual rentals are $11,900. $11,900. Royalties are 22.5%. We did not receive any bids on tracks 44588 through 44594. We did receive one bid on track 44595, advertised as 1,284.38 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 463.98 acres. 463.98 acres. The bidder is Hillcore Energy One LP. Hillcore Energy One LP. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $92,796. $92,796, or a per acre value of $200. Annual rentals are $46,398. $46,398. Royalties are 21%. We received one bid on 44596, advertised as 572.91 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 1.754 acres. 1.754 acres. The bidder is Hillcore Energy One LP. Hillcore Energy One LP. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $350.80. $350.80, or a per acre value of $200. Annual rentals are $175.40. $175.40. Royalties are 25%. We did not receive any bids on tracks 44597, 598, or 599. We did receive one bid on track 44600, advertised as 170.24 acres. The bid is for the entire track, and the bidder is Angel and Donahue, Oil and Gas Properties, Inc. Angel and Donahue, Oil and Gas Properties, Inc. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $34,048. $34,048, or a per acre value of $200. Annual rentals are $17,024. $17,024. Royalties are 22.5%. We did not receive any bids on track 44601 or 44602. We did receive one bid on track 44603, advertised as 10 acres. The bid is for the entire track, and the bidder is Seco Oil and Gas Company. Seco Oil and Gas Company. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $5,250. $5,250, or a per acre value of $525. Annual rentals are $2,625. $2,625. Royalties are 25%. And that will complete the opening and reading of the bids for today's lease sale.
A board meeting and lease sale for September 14th, 2016 to order. Can I have roll call, please?
Yes, sir. Tom Arnold.
Present.
Tom Harris.
Present.
Rochelle Dugas. Yeah. Carol LeBlanc.
Present.
Todd Hollinshead.
Here.
Greg Carter.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. Previously, you know, received by email and in front of you the minutes from the August 10th, 2016 meeting. Can I have a motion to approve those minutes, please? Moved by Mr. Hollinshead.
Second.
Second by Secretary Harris. Any comments or questions from the board? Any comments or questions from the public? Is anyone opposed to approving these minutes? Hearing none, the minutes are approved. Item four is staff reports, and our first report is from the lease review.
Chairman, member of the board.
Hey, Jason. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm here to present the lease review agenda today. We have a small agenda. All the board members should have a binder containing information related to this agenda. Let's start with how many active leases there are. There are 1,400 active leases covering nearly 590,000 acres. The G&E staff reviewed since the last board meeting some 143 leases covering approximately 48,000 acres. And we only have one lease portion to discuss today. That being State Lease 340, designated areas 1 through 5, West Cote Blanche Bay Field. This portion and its associated designated areas were subject to a development release schedule starting June 1st, 2014, with the goal to encourage development or release of acreage. The staff just wanted to update the board on the results of the schedule at this meeting. The parties were unable to drill any new wells, and therefore, in lieu thereof, they released acreage. Total acreage in the designated areas prior to the schedule was approximately 15,000 acres, and the total released to date is approximately 9,000 acres. The remaining balance is due to be released within the next 30 days. Included in this agenda is just a map illustrating what acreage remains.
Mr. Talbert.
Go ahead.
And, since June 1st, 2014, how many acres have been put back into commerce on 340?
It would be the 9,000 acres.
Total.
Yes. Okay. From West Cote Blanche Bay.
And many more still undeveloped, correct?
Yeah, there's still portions of Rabbit Island and Belle Isle that we're working to get released also.
Thank you.
So that pretty much covers just the update on 340 West Cote Blanche Bay, the designated areas, the core area of that portion we call the productive acreage is controlled by Gulfport, and they continue to produce that acreage, which is considered held by production. There are no more for force majeure. There are no new items on force majeure report, and that concludes the lease review committee agenda.
Thank you. So there's no action needed, correct?
That's correct.
Let's move over to our nomination and track report. Mr. Emil Fontenot, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Chairman Arnold and members of the board. Approval by the board was previously granted to staff to process and advertise 21 tracks in the official journal of the state and in the official journal of the parishes where the lands are located for today's lease sale. For the September 9th, 2015 mineral lease sale, this office received 36 nominations for advertisement. 8 nominations received at the Office of Mineral Resources for the November 9th, 2016 mineral lease sale are pending approval by the board for advertising. For the November 12th, 2015 mineral lease sale, this office received 10 nominations for advertisement. Staff is recommending that you give that the board gives staff the authority to advertise these tracts for the November 9th, 2016 meeting.
Thank you for staff's report and recommendation. I need a motion to approve the advertisement of the upcoming tracts for nomination. Move by Mr. Hollinshead, second by Mr. Carter. Any comments or questions from the board? Any comments or questions from the public? Is anyone opposed to this motion? Hearing none, the motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
The next report is the audit report. And good morning, Ms. Newman.
Good morning. As of August 31st, 2016, field audit collections totaled $208,153. This included $37,864 in interest and $170,289 in penalties. The current number of open royalty audits is 63. Royalties collected in August of 16 totaled $25,860,460. Fiscal year to date, that total is $40,705,310. At the same time last year, fiscal year-to-date royalties were $50,866,136. Monthly state royalty reports submitted in August totaled 350. This included 140 for oil, 163 for gas, and 47 for plant products. Item number one is a penalty waiver request from Fieldwood Energy on the Panico audit for penalty in the amount of $17,841.97 billed for audit exceptions. The field audit of Panico began on April 21st of 2014. It covered July 2002 through March 2005. Total royalty collected in the audit period was $3,623,480. Panico was purchased by Fieldwood Energy, who paid the royalty and interest timely and requested the waiver. Fieldwood has never been field audited. They were very cooperative in accommodations and scheduling, as well as providing documents and granting access to key personnel. We had no difficulties in obtaining timely response to all of our questions. The company has implemented corrective measures on all issues noted during the audit. Fieldwood Energy paid the state a total of $37,101 in royalty exceptions and $37,864 in interest. In accordance with penalty waiver protocol, staff is recommending a 100% waiver in the amount of $17,841.97.
Thank you, Ms. Newman. You've heard staff's report and recommendation. We have a motion to approve staff's recommendation. Moved by Secretary Harris. Second by Ms. Dugas.
Can I make a substitute?
Any comments or questions from the board?
Yeah, can I make a substitute motion?
If you like, you can make a comment or question first, or?
Yeah, after comments and questions, I'd like to make a substitute motion.
Okay. Any further comments or questions? Well, let's do substitute motion.
Is there anyone here representing this firm?
No, sir.
Okay. My substitute motion would be that we waive none of these penalties. I feel like the penalties are owed, and the state should collect the money. My motion is to waive 0% of the penalties.
Is there a second to that motion? The motion was to waive none of the penalty. To waive none.
To not waive the penalties.
There's no one here. That is not. Well, understand from the staff's report, this is the company's first time coming before us with a penalty request.
Correct.
They implemented procedures to no longer have these issues, and they fully cooperated and paid 100% of the penalty due and 100% of the interest.
Yes,
and according to protocol, which we've set up over the last 20 years, this was the procedure we go by. Correct. The staff recommendation was following protocol. Is there a second to the motion? Hearing no second, the substitute motion died. I think take a vote on the previous motion, staff recommendation. All in favor? I'm sorry, any comments or questions from the public? All in favor of staff recommendation for 100% penalty waiver? Please say aye.
Aye.
Is there anyone opposed? Okay, let's have Mrs. Sattelman.
I would just have the record reflect that Mr. Hollinshead opposes. That's all.
Okay. The motion passes with Mr. Hollinshead's opposition. Item two.
Item number two is a penalty waiver request from Poydras Energy Partners, LLC, for a penalty of $25,891.53 billed for audit exceptions. The field audit began on October 28th of 2013, and it covered August of 2010 through June of 2013. Total royalty collected for the audit period is $2,731,684. This was the first audit of Poydras. The company was somewhat cooperative with accommodations and scheduling. The auditors had no issues obtaining records on site. However, once the audit was billed, there was little to no cooperation. Royalty and interest was not paid timely. The company was billed on April 15, 2014, but a final payment was not received until April 7th of 2016. We are unable to determine if corrective measures have been taken. However, Poydras Energy Partners LLC is no longer a payer. Poydras paid the state a total of $95,723 in royalty exceptions and $12,634 in interest. In accordance with protocol, staff is recommending a 25% penalty waiver in the amount of $6,472.88 with a balance of $19,418.65 to the state. And we do have representatives from Poydras present that would like to address the board.
Mr. Secretary Harris, a question.
Ms. Newman, would you
have to sit down, gentlemen,
for the board and everyone present, just go over, describe the protocol for when you recommend penalty waiver?
Yes, sir. For a field audit, we handle it a little bit differently. There's specific criteria, and you should have a copy of this criteria in your binder and how they were ranked. We consider, have they been audited before? And if they have not been audited, they get maximum credit for that, which is 2 points. They get credit if they were cooperative with their accommodations and scheduling, and we have a situation here where they were somewhat cooperative, so they got 1 point. Number three is, did they provide ready access to key personnel and records? We had some difficulties, but they did provide records, so they got 1 point because it wasn't difficulties with both. Were all issues paid timely? They did not get any points here because we did have a 2-year lag between when it was billed and when it was paid.
I have a couple of questions.
Yes, ma'am.
When was this adopted and who put these rules together?
Oh, this one was adopted years ago. I don't have the exact resolution in front of me. I apologize.
And
but
who
I think
would
this
have
one is
put that together?
2007. And the auditor is responsible for looking at these criteria, the auditor that performed the audit, because they're the ones that know the company the best.
So that would have been someone prior to you?
That prepared this recommendation?
Yes.
No, ma'am. This would be the auditor that performed this audit. This is one of my staff.
No, not this, not today's. The recommendations, which you just said.
The protocol.
The protocol, right. The protocol was, yes, that was before my time, although it was confirmed, I believe, and ratified while I've been director.
By who?
While I have been director, the board did confirm it.
By resolution.
This board.
Yes.
By this
they
board.
By this board.
It.
Correct.
I'd just like to know a year eventually if you can find that out for me.
Yes, ma'am. I absolutely will.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Please state your name.
Yes, my name is Etienne LePere, and I'm here on behalf of Poydras Energy Partners. And I have here Shannon Terry, who drove in from Jacksonville, Florida, to attend the hearing this morning. And he is the key principal of Poydras Energy Partners. We're here to request a full abatement of the penalties, and we'd like the board to be aware of some mitigating factors. Number one, Mr. Terry's company, Coriel Wachita, purchased Poydras Energy Partners in August of 2011, which was a year into the audit period, basically. And processes were in place at that time that he acquired Poydras. And those processes carried through until this audit came up and he was made aware of the problem. This isn't a situation where, the second mitigating factor is, this isn't a situation where we're not paying royalties on gas that's sold. This was royalties on gas that was used in other operations. And so that's sort of how it got missed. So we would like for the board to take that into account and take into account the enormous stress and strain that the industry is under right now, given the low oil prices. And Mr. Terry has got several leases, state leases, that he's operating. And at this critical time, we would prevail upon the board to grant us full abatement.
Thank you. Any comments or questions from the board?
I have a question.
Yes, Ms. LaVoy.
Sir, your staff, it says here that once the audit was billed, there was little to no cooperation. Would you know why that was so?
No, ma'am. I'll have to find out why that was, because...
You should have checked into that before coming today, because that's a very important issue there.
May I ask, was the cooperation in the divulgence of information...
The lack of cooperation was in correcting the exceptions or providing documentation to dispute the exceptions or payment of the exceptions?
Yeah, there was at this particular time, ma'am, there was a couple really difficult things that transpired. One, we had Hurricane Isaac that came in and really slammed our platform and basically destroyed about 80% of it. So I was really reeling from that scenario. At the same time, a contractor, a certified and insured, underinsured contractor, had came out to the platform and had done some work and had caused damage in a small fire. So I was dealing with these issues. One, I was not part of the contractor's issue as a negligence on their part, but on the other hand, I wasn't part of the hurricane, but it was a very difficult period of time. So if there was any kind of communication issues or not being able to communicate data, I apologize, and we are right now fully focused to make sure that at any time anybody with State of Louisiana needs any information, that we are working diligently to make sure that we're on top of all details. I think Ms. Newman knows that I am trying very, very hard to put everything back online and to create, you know, revenue for Louisiana.
Any other comments or questions? Are there any motions regarding staff recommendations? Is staff recommendation for a 25% penalty waiver?
Yes, sir.
Is there a motion to accept staff recommendation? I hear no motion, so Mr. Seidemann?
Well, I think in the absence of that, a member can propose an alternative motion, or the board can take no action. That would just defer the matter.
Victor Harris?
I move that we deny the request for waiver of penalty.
I can't hear you.
The motion is to have no waiver of penalty. Just that's full 100%. Is that correct?
That's correct.
I couldn't. Could you repeat that, please?
I move that we deny the request for waiver of penalty and propose no reduction in the penalty.
I'll second that.
It's been moved by Secretary Harris, second by Mr. Hollinshead, to enforce the penalty 100%. Any comments or questions from the board? Any comments or questions from the public? The attorneys would be the public. Any comments or questions? It's your chance.
We just like you know, for the reasons I gave, the mitigating factors, given the environment of the oil and gas industry as it is today, I just respectfully request that you reconsider and grant a full waiver of the penalty.
Any further comments or questions from the public? Does anyone oppose to this motion? Hearing none, the motion passes. Thank you, gentlemen.
I just want to go back to one thing not related to this particular issue, but Ms. LeBlanc had asked when that last resolution was passed setting forth these protocols. That was September of 2010 by this board.
Thank you, Ryan.
And I believe that these protocols have been tweaked throughout the years, correct?
Yeah, I think there was, and that's a modification of one from 08, and I haven't gone back beyond that, but yes, so they have absolutely been in place for a good long while. But the formal ones that we're dealing with today were formalized by this board in 2010.
All right, that's approved by the board, is what you said.
Yes.
Item three, staff report.
Item number three is a staff report to the board that the election for September 2016 gas royalty is to be paid on a processed basis at the Discovery Plant at LaRose and the C. Robin Plant at Henry for the terms of the State Texaco Global Settlement Agreement. And that concludes the audit report.
Thank you, Ms. Newman.
Thank you.
Next, we have the legal and title controversy report. Ms. Danielle Fontenot, welcome. And am I reading this correct? There's only one item on the agenda?
If you can believe that, yes, sir. It is only one. And it is a request for final approval of an operating agreement by and between the State Mineral and Energy Board and Union Gas Operating Company to create an operating tract for the exploration and development of oil, gas, and or condensate and other liquid hydrocarbons, which proposal allocates to the state a state production interest equal to 25% before payout, increasing to 25.5% after payout, and into the operating tract, covering a portion of former state lease 20980 and a portion of former state lease 21421 containing 0.33 acres, more or less situated in Allen Parish, Louisiana, with further particulars being stipulated in the instrument which has been duly advertised, and it appears on today's docket as item number 16-1, and staff recommends final approval of the operating agreement.
Thank you. Here are the staff's report and recommendation. Can I have a motion to approve, please?
Move.
Moved by Mrs. Segura. Second by Ms. Dugas. Any comments or questions from the board? Any comments or questions from the public? Mr. Pat Theopoulos? Sixteen-31. Is that correct?
That is correct. 16-31.
Thank you. Is anyone opposed to this motion? Hearing none, the motion carries. And that concludes legal and title controversy report.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have a docket review report. The Macy Dennis, good morning, sir.
The staff of the Petroleum Land Division of the Office of Mineral Resources has reviewed those items requiring board approval for the September 14th, 2016 docket and recommends the following. For Category A, state agency leases, please approve items number one and item number two. For Category B, state lease transfers, please approve item number one and item number two. For item number three and item number four, approve subject to the approval of the governor. Please approve items number five through item number nine. Item number 10, deferred at the request of staff. Please approve items number 11 through items number 20. For category C, Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, state agency lease transfers. There were no items submitted for this category. For category D, advertised proposals, please approve item number one, and this will complete the staff's recommendations for the docket review agenda.
Thank you, sir. You've heard staff's report recommendations. Can I have a motion to approve the docket review report? Moved by Secretary Harris, second by Mrs. Segura. Any comments or questions from the board? Any comments or questions from the public? Is anyone opposed to this motion? Hearing none, the motion is approved. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, that concludes the staff report. The next item is item five, executive session. Do we need to read into the agenda? Items for executive session.
What do we have, the one in audit?
We have audit, update on Harvest Oil and Gas, and update regarding ongoing discussions with ConocoPhillips, as well as technical briefings.
If I can put my hands on them, I will read them into executive session. Or, I'm sorry, I'll read them into the record. Sorry, apparently I got a new role today. Oh, Emil.
No, you have it?
I've got it if you want me to get it.
No, go ahead.
Very good, then. All right. Executive session is going to be an update. Item number one is an update on Harvest Oil and Gas LLC and Harvest Group LLC bankruptcy audits from docket number 15-50748 in the Western District of Louisiana Bankruptcy Court. Item number two is an update regarding ongoing discussions with the disputing landowner ConocoPhillips, successor to LL&E, as to title disputed acreage within state lease numbers 724-21150, 21152, and 21157, situated within the SIB Karst RA SUA unit, Four Isle Dome Field, Terrebonne Parish, Louisiana. And then also a technical briefing on the bids.
Great. So I need a motion to go into executive session to discuss those three items.
Move.
Move by Segura. Second by Mr. Hollinshead. Any comments or questions from the board? Any comments or questions from the public? Hearing none, we're in executive session. Oh, I'm sorry. All in favor?
Aye.
Does anyone oppose? Hearing none, we're in executive session. Thank you. Move by Mr. Segura. Second by Secretary Harris. Any comments or questions from the board? Any comments or questions from the public? Is anyone opposed from us coming out of executive session? Hearing none, we are back in open session. Items discussed in the executive session, item A.
Item A was just an update on the bankruptcy audits and the bankruptcy matter. There's been a court order entered, as I mentioned yesterday. So there's no real action for the board to take. That's about it on that one.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And item B with ConocoPhillips?
On item B, the staff is seeking an approval of the recommendations in executive session with regard to ConocoPhillips' most recent offer and path forward in terms of counteroffers, et cetera.
Thank you. Can I have a motion to accept staff's recommendation that was given in executive session?
Move.
Second.
Move by Mrs. LeBlanc, second by Mrs. Segura. Any comments or questions from the board? Any comments or questions from the public? Is anyone opposed to this motion? Hearing none, the motion carries. Thank you, Ryan.
Absolutely.
We also received technical briefing on bids. This item four would be the awarding of the leases. Mr. Barramilla, can you give us staff recommendations?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Staff recommends that the board accept all the bids that were presented today.
Thank you for staff's recommendation to accept all bids as presented. Okay, a motion to accept, please. Moved by Ms. Carol LeBlanc. Second by Mr. Hollinshead. Any comments or questions from the board? Any comments or questions from the public? Is anyone opposed to this motion? Hearing none, those leases are awarded. Item 7 is new business. This is a presentation on open meeting laws by Mr. Ryan Sederman.
Feel like Bob Barker with this long time. I wander around like this and tell you to neuter and spay your pets. All right. Okay, so basically a couple months ago, I can't remember who it was, one of the board members or staff had asked that I come and do a review of the open meetings law as it really relates to the mineral board activities. So I've got a series of slides here that go through the relevant portions. It's a fairly substantial law. I'm not going through all of it. We'll all be asleep, including me.
One thing to note, well, two things to note. Number one, anybody's welcome to this set of slides. Just shoot me an email if anybody wants it, or I can make it available. Y'all can post it if you want. It is all, of course, public information. There are a lot of laws and attorney general's opinions referenced in the slides. Those things also public information if anybody's interested in them. They do provide additional guidance on some of the things we'll talk about. So let me know. I'm happy to share them with you. All right. So let's go. What is the applicable law? Well, it derives from the Louisiana Constitution, Article 12, Section 3. No person shall be denied the right to observe the deliberations of public bodies, except in cases established by law. And from that constitutional directive, the open meetings law was codified at 42.12-28 of the revised statutes. 42.12 provides, it is essential to the maintenance of a democratic society that the public business be performed in an open and public manner, and that the citizens be advised of and aware of the performance of public officials and the deliberations and decisions that go into the making of public policy. Towards this end, the provisions of 12 through 28 shall be construed liberally. So, what do we take from this? Very basically, that when y'all are chatting about public business as a board, it's got to be here in open session. When y'all make decisions as a board, it's got to be here in open session. And if there's a dispute over whether something is to be considered open and public or not, that decision needs to be, it needs to come down in favor of openness. And the courts have consistently upheld that liberal construction. Public body, so what is it? Well, that's defined in 42.13. What relates to you guys starts about midway down. Any other state, parish, municipal, or special district boards, commissions, or authorities, and those of any political subdivision thereof, where such body possesses policymaking, advisory, or administrative functions, including any committee or subcommittee of any of these bodies. So, you guys are a state board. You guys fall under the public body definition. And any of y'all subcommittees, committees or subcommittees fall under this. I know that recently there was a committee formed to deal with the lease form. That falls under the definition of public body, and this law applies. All right, so when do we have an actual meeting? We have a meeting when we've got a quorum. Quorum means that you have a simple majority of the total membership of the public body. So what do we need? Six for a quorum? So once we've got six, we've got the board. Meeting is defined as the convening of a quorum of a public body to deliberate or act on a matter over which the public body has supervision, control, jurisdiction, or advisory power. It shall also mean the convening of a quorum of a public body by the public body or by another public official to receive information regarding a matter over which the public body has supervision, control, jurisdiction, or advisory power. So, when y'all call your meetings, we got a meeting, obviously, that's what it's called. If, for example, the legislature were to designate this board to research something, to report on something, and that is a convening by another public body, that would constitute a meeting, and all of the rules for public for open meetings would apply. So, what constitutes a meeting? Well, it's clear that today we've got a meeting. It is a full board meeting, no question. What else? Site visits. That's not really something that y'all do. Retreats. Watch out for that. No retreats. If you do a retreat, you got to invite the entire state. So, you know, factor that into your food budget. Good luck. And committee meetings, and we've already talked about that. So how do you know when you've got a meeting? You need to look at the intent of the meeting and the definition of meeting in 42.13A1, which is what we just went over. All right, 42.13B, open meetings law does not apply to chance meetings or social gatherings of members of a public body at which there is no vote or other action taken, including formal or informal polling of members. So, you guys go to, say you guys are tailgating on a Saturday's football game? Sorry, I don't know anything about football. So y'all are tailgating, and, you know, six of you guys happen to run into each other in the parking lot at LSU. Do we have to invite the entirety of the state to your tailgate to share your barbecue? That would be fairly unpleasant for whoever's cooking. The answer is no. But don't try to conduct business. That would trigger open meetings. We don't want to do that. You guys can chat about the game, you know, or whatever else you want to talk about. Just don't talk about the business of the board. And another point to this, and this is something that has come up in other boards that I deal with. You guys not so much, since y'all are not authorized to be industry members, but when I deal with the cemetery board, that board is made up of industry members. And so they have their own trade groups, and all of the board members are members of the trade groups. When they go to their association meetings, is that a board meeting? And the answer is no. Just don't talk about board business. But they got a quorum every time they have an association meeting. It makes things confusing. And we have to instruct them before they go to their association meetings. Guys, you can talk about whatever you want to talk about. You know, chat about how deep you're going to bury somebody. Cool. But do not talk about the board's authority or decisions or matters that are before the board. You laugh, Mr. Secretary. It's a very bizarre board to work for, I assure you. You guys are real tame compared to that. All right, emails between members of a public body. Are these authorized? The Attorney General's office has issued an opinion on this issue in 2012. The request, 2012-0177, can a council member send an email relaying an opinion without asking for an opinion in return to a fellow council member or to fellow council members on a subject that will come up at a later meeting? And the answer is not straightforward, but is generally yes, you can. You can give a heads up. You can say, look, here's my perspective on this. Be careful, okay? What we don't want that to do is then get into a policy discussion. You can absolutely make your email or your opinion known to the other board members, but for those of the other board members who might get that, don't respond back and start saying, yes, but, because that's what's supposed to happen here. You can absolutely have, you know, an opinion voiced, great. Don't get into substantive discussions. And I will add that more likely than not, those emails are going to be subject to a public records request. So keep that in mind as well. Can a council member forward requests, information, or opinions received from constituents to other council members when the request relates to a subject under the council's jurisdiction or is requesting the council to take action on a matter? Yes, you can. If you get stuff from a third party as a member of the board, even a staff of the board, and the request is, you know, can you please share this with the board? Absolutely. Share it. That's fine. But let's not get into email discussions of it. You know, share it, say, you know, I got this from somebody, you know, can we please discuss this as an agenda item at an upcoming meeting? Great. Don't share it and say, I got this, let's chat. And then have a flurry of emails. That would be a violation. All right. Before sending a message to a quorum of a public body, ask these questions. What is the sender's intent? To convey information or to elicit a response. If you're conveying information, that's fine. No problem with that. If you're trying to get a response out of the quorum of the body, not good. So watch out for that. Ask yourself that question before you send something to the entirety of the board or quorum of the board. Is the communication designed to facilitate a group discussion over email? If it is, don't send it. Just hold it. Or send it to whoever's preparing the agenda and say, can you put this issue on the agenda so we can discuss it in an open session? What about texting? This has also come up in an AG opinion 10-0233. Electronic communications during a public meeting by a member of a public body with constituents, staff, or less than a quorum is not a violation of the open meetings law. So, let's just pick on Secretary. Secretary Harris wants to send me a text right now saying, shut up, stop running your mouth. It is about something that is on the agenda. I do run my mouth, and I probably should shut up, and that is acceptable. He is not violating the open meetings law, but I'll be ignoring him because my phone's in my pocket. Nonetheless, if I pulled it out, looked at it, read it, and responded back to him, that's fine too. Caution should be exercised when the discussion involves a quorum of the public body or the content of the messages concerns voting on a matter currently being discussed by the public body. So, what does this mean? Does this mean that you cannot say, I don't like the way this discussion is going by way of text to another member individually? Not really. You can do that under this Attorney General opinion. Does it mean that you can send a text to the entire board and say, vote no? No, you cannot. So just watch who and what you send. Can you send a text to the entire body while we're sitting here going, hey, where's everybody going for lunch? That's fine. That's fine. And look, during this, you know, interesting, riveting discussion on open meetings, I encourage you to prepare your lunch plans. All right, can I attend a meeting by telephone? This one I think is self-evident. No. The open meeting law requires your presence. And you can't participate in the meeting by phone for the purposes of achieving a quorum or voting. Does that mean if you've got a particularly interesting topic that's coming up at a meeting and you just can't be here, can you listen by phone? Absolutely. If the equipment's available for it, yes. If not, I know that with this board, the recordings are available, so you can sit through it at your leisure. You know, if you need something to do to go to sleep at night. All right. Reasonable notice of an issue being decided on by a public body, 4219, and a bunch of little letters. All public bodies except the legislature and its committees and subcommittees shall give written public notice of any regular, special, or rescheduled meeting no later than 24 hours, exclusive of Saturdays, Sundays, and legal holidays before the meeting. All right, so basically this is not something that y'all deal with directly as the board members. It is a problem for staff. But keep in mind that if an issue comes up and you want it on an agenda, you got to get it to the staff before this deadline. Otherwise, it can't come up at the meeting with an exception. I think that's next. Maybe not. All right. Written public notice includes the agenda, date, time, and place of the meeting. The agenda can't be changed less than 24 hours, exclusive of yada yada. 4219A1B2BB, each item must be listed separately and with reasonable specificity. The point here is that on an agenda, you've got to be able to put people on notice of what's going to come before the board. The whole idea to this is keeping the public informed. Don't keep secrets. So make sure that there's enough information on that agenda. And, you know, I've worked with the staff now for over a decade on agenda items. I've never seen anything on this board's agenda that gives me any heartburn. And of course, the staff here is very good about, if they've got a question about how to list something, shooting an email to me or to one of the other attorneys and saying, is this sufficient? And we're happy to answer that question. Before the public body may take action on an item, the item must be read aloud, except as provided in DD. We're not going to get to that. That's why we go through this mind-numbingly miserable word-for-word reading of the agenda. So bear with us. The law requires it. Okay. This is what I was talking about before. Amending the agendas. And we have done this from time to time. Things come up, and that's reality. Upon unanimous approval of the members present at a meeting of a public body, the public body may take up a matter not on the agenda. Any such matter shall be identified in the motion to take up the matter with reasonable specificity, including the purpose for the addition, and entered into the minutes of the meeting. There must be an opportunity for public comment. Amending the agenda cannot be used as a subterfuge to defeat the purpose of the open meetings law. So if something comes up that's urgent, needs to be considered, it absolutely can be added if it must. I would say use this sparingly. Don't use it because there's something that, oh, I'd like to get that on the agenda, but I can wait till next month, you know, and it came up within that 24-hour period. It can't be added to the agenda beforehand. Has to be done in an open session. Has to be done by by individual vote. So you got to take a polling of the members, and it's got to be unanimous approval by a motion to add that agenda item. And then only if it passes unanimously, then can you go into discussion or consideration of the issue. So it's first got to be a motion to add that unanimously passes, then the discussion on the substance. But like I said, I suggest using it sparingly. These are some amendments that came out in 2014. I had them in here this morning and then decided that they probably are overly technical for this, so we're going to skip that. All right, executive session. When can you do this? 4216 provides the procedure for going into executive session. There must be a vote of two-thirds of the members present at a properly called meeting. The reason for going into executive session must be contained within, must be for the reasons contained within 4217. No final or binding action shall be taken during an executive session, which is why, as y'all just saw, for those of y'all who are new members, we came out of executive session before we asked the board to do anything with regard to what we discussed in there. That's the whole point. Again, we can go and discuss details of certain things within executive session, but any action on those items has to be taken in open session. The minutes must include the vote of each member to enter into executive session and the reason for doing so. And the reason, of course, is what we've read from the agenda, so that's something that we as the staff prep ahead of time. Revised Statutes 4217, these are the reasons you can go into executive session. Discussion of the character, professional competence, or physical or mental health of a person. Hopefully this will not come up at this board, before this board, provided the person is given 24 hours notice. All right, but more importantly is the second bullet point, prospective litigation after formal written demand or litigation when an open meeting would have a detrimental effect on the bargaining position of the public body. So that's why we go into executive session to discuss our ongoing cases. It's litigation strategy, and, you know, while we do appreciate public input on things, that's not one of them. That is something that the board has the exclusive authority to give us directives on, and attorney-client privilege applies, and basically that's the reason for that rule. It's not just litigation. It is also in formal demand situations. So you can see sometimes we'll go into executive session to discuss audit issues when folks have been put on demand. That's authorized as well. The Mineral Board has its own special portions of the Open Meetings Public Records Law that are carved out for things like y'all's consideration of the bids and things like that, that authorizes that to be an executive session. But that gets into an awful lot of detail that we do not need to go in today. All right, what about notice of intent to go into executive session? 4219 specifically notes that if a public entity is going to discuss matters in executive session, then additional notice must be provided identifying the court, case number, and parties relative to any pending litigation, or a statement identifying the parties involved and reasonably identifying the subject matter of prospective litigation for the purposes of a formal written demand, for which a formal written demand has been made. All right, so, again, this is your agenda item. This is why we sit there and read docket numbers and court names and things like that. We got to. We have to put everybody on notice for the record. All right, real briefly, enforcement. Who can enforce provisions of the open meetings law if they feel like they've been violated? The Attorney General, the District Attorney for the parish where the entity sits, so here it would be EBR, or any member of the public who feels like they've been denied a right. They can bring an action to enforce the open meetings law. Relief available. This is hyper-technical legal stuff. We don't really need to go over that today, but there are various things to have, you know, enforcement dealt with. So that's it. If y'all want any of the laws, I'm happy to send them. If y'all want any of the opinions, I'm happy to send them. And to the best of my ability, I will try to answer questions if y'all have them.
I have one question. The week prior to the meeting, we have staff agenda review meetings.
Correct.
Some of the board members listen in on the phone and offer opinions?
Correct.
So that would not constitute a quorum?
Oh, no, that doesn't constitute a quorum as long as we don't get to a quorum. It's got to be, and I'll tell you, you know, from the years of dealing with this board, I don't think I've ever been in an agenda review meeting with more than two, one on the phone and one in person. Usually it's nobody. Occasionally it's one by phone.
If we have all 12, all 10,
we've got a problem.
Okay.
So
even though it's by phone, they can't vote, it'll still be...
Yeah, it's... And okay, so that's a fair point. So let's say everybody participate, all of y'all participate by phone in the agenda meeting. That's probably going to be getting way too close to the line. You wouldn't be able to vote, obviously, but I think that it's... It gives the opportunity for a quorum discussion of agenda items or matters that are under the jurisdiction of the board. So I think in that case, that's probably a subterfuge of the open meetings law. But if it is one member, two members, simply for informational purposes, perfectly acceptable.
And is it a violation even if that discussion is informational and not proceeding to act on a vote?
Yes, I think if it's a quorum, it probably is, because it is things that are under y'all's jurisdiction, which is another qualifier. So I think, but the triggering mechanism there is the quorum.
Just one more question. Can you send this to all the board members, including ones who are not here today?
If the secretary will allow me, I will send it to Mr. Boulay and ask that, I don't have everybody's contact. I'll ask that he send it out to everybody. And then, like I said, if any of y'all want any detail, feel free to let me know. And I just,
hey, the subcommittee that's less than four.
Well, so, that's correct. Fair point. Okay, so committee that's less than the board. The quorum is then adjusted based upon the number of members of the committee. So if you've got a subcommittee of, yes, let's go with an odd number, five, you get three, you've got a quorum, open meetings law kicks in.
Thank you, sir. Any further comments or questions from the board? From the public?
Thank you, Mr. Seidel.
Absolutely.
Very well.
Thank you.
Be sure to spay and neuter your pets.
Agenda item 8 is announcements.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman, today we received cash payments of $156,244.80 for new leases, bringing our year-to-date total of $558,527.71. I would also add that next week, DNR will be participating in CPRA in the LOGA Fall Meeting Seminar in Lafayette at the Doubletree. The meeting convenes on the 20th. Our presentations, including legal lease form discussion as well as royalty compliance, will occur on the 21st. I'll send a link to everyone on the meeting agenda next Wednesday in Lafayette. That's it.
Thank you. There'd be no further items on the agenda. I'll take a motion to adjourn, please. Moved by Ms. Segura, second by Mr. Carter. Any comments or questions from the board? Any comments or questions from the public? Is anyone opposed to this motion? Hearing none, we're adjourned. Thank you.